Good morning, everybody. Before we get into our message, I would like to say welcome to our extended family members who are out in virtual land. A special hello to you, and looking forward to the day that we can all gather together once again in person. Because I think it's a very important part of being a family. And I remember this show when I was growing up, so it's going to date me just a little bit. And there was it was a Saturday morning, and it was called Romper Room. Anybody remember Romper Room? Romper, bumper, stomper, boo. And at the end of the show, she had these glasses, and they were kind of crazy-looking things, and she'd adjust them, and they had colors. And she'd say, oh, I can see little Susie. And I can see little Jimmy, and I always got so excited when she said, I can see little Jimmy. I wasn't very bright back then, but I wish I had those Romper Room glasses and I could see everyone who is watching streaming live, so welcome. I also have another announcement in case you have not heard. I am going to be a grandfather once again, which we announced a little while ago. I have a grandson. He is the challenged one back. Well, no, actually, the mom is being challenged. No, little Luca. And I am going to be welcoming a granddaughter into the world. And her name will be Paisley Joe. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome. I mean, one grandson and now a granddaughter. It's like, oh, there's just nothing better. You just love on them and you spoil them, and then they poop and you give them back. So we're going to continue our messages here. The last few weeks prior, we were studying some Hebrew, and I was able to show you the Hebrew alphabet. And the way that the letters all have a meaning, each one of them, and then when you put them together in a word, that name or that word has a special meaning as well. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the reason we started studying these things is because of this verse. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us, and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." So there's two things that are brought up in this one verse. One is the secret things. And those things belong to the Lord. Those are God's business. They're not our business. They're not for us to look into. They're His secrets, belong to Him. Sage Ben Sira said that these are eternal and divine mysteries. The things that are hidden from you, do not inquire about them. Immerse yourself in what is permitted you, and do not engage yourself in nistarot. And nistarot is the Hebrew word for hidden things. And if you notice, part of that word is tarot, or tarot, or tarot. And those are palm readers and people who do practice divination through tarot cards. And the Bible says, according to those things, you should have nothing to do with them. They are hidden, they are considered witchcraft, and they're actually condemned by God in the scriptures. We are not to have anything to do with those things that belong to God. The second part are the things that have been revealed. So the first things, the secret things, are God's business. The second things can be considered mankind's business. In Colossians 1, 25 through 27, it says, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So even Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says, there are certain mysteries that have been a mystery for a long time that God kept secret and he kept hidden, and then he chose to reveal them at a certain time. At that time, they went from God's business to mankind's business, our business. He revealed them so that we could understand them. And many of these things that are revealed that fall under mankind's business in the scriptures are not available to us because of the language that we speak. If you have a Bible and you have a certain translation and you compare it with another translation, sometimes they say completely different things. However, there's only one Hebrew Bible. And the Hebrew language is the language that God gave to Moses and to his people. He spoke it with them and it became a written word. And in that Hebrew language, there are mysteries that are mankind's business that if we take the time to study them, they reveal God's character, they reveal God's personality, they reveal his love, they reveal his plan for redemption and reconciliation and restoration to his people. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this, and we've already looked at the Hebrew alphabet, where each letter means something, and when you combine them in a word or a name, they tell a story. Now we're going to study how the Hebrew language is constructed. There are certain things, certain DNA core throughout certain elements that God has chosen to put into the Hebrew language. And when we study these things with the Hebrew spectacles, we have a greater understanding. How the Hebrew language is structured, there are words and verbs that are connected to each other by shared roots. Most roots are made up of 2 to 3 letters that serve as a core meaning. This is like a nucleus of related organs, which are the words, connected by a unique common DNA core, which are the letters that make up those words for each concept. So there are words that sound very similar in Hebrew that are connected and chained together to the point that they tell a story. And each of them have a core DNA in them of 2 to 3 consonants that are repeated in each one of the words. Here's an example. The Hebrew word, root word katav, means a reporter, someone who reports things. Kaf, tav, and bet are the three letters. Now, if you've been around a little bit, you understand that bet can be pronounced B, hard B, or V. So when it's katav, those are the letters, kaf, tav, and bet. And that is the word, katav is the word for a reporter. There are 3 core letters that are also used in other words that are attached or similar to a reporter. So the kaf, the tav, and the vet, or the bet, can be found in other words like write, to write, desk, correspondence, dictate, engrave, and address. So the 3 core DNA letters in reporter are also repeated in other words that are closely associated with a reporter. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So the Hebrew language links words in 3 different ways. The Hebrew language will link words by essence. An essence is a property or a group of properties of something without which it would not exist or be what it is. If you've ever made chocolate chip cookies, what is the main ingredient that you have to have in chocolate chip cookies to make it a chocolate chip cookie? Chocolate chips. It is the essence that makes it a chocolate chip cookie. If you remove the chocolate chip cookie or the chocolate chips, It is no longer a chocolate chip cookie, correct? So that is what an essence is. Essences are certain properties that once you remove them, it no longer is what it is. Okay? So they're linked by essence. The Hebrew language also links words by color. As we're going to see, they're linked by color. They sound similar, and when we find out what the words are and how they're linked together, it gives us a greater understanding of these words, because they're put together as a story. The Hebrew language links words by emotion. So through the two or three core letters of each word, the Hebrew language creates a chain of words that, when linked together, tell a story. We're going to take a look at a few words from the book of Genesis that are chained or linked together by their core DNA in Hebrew. And when connected, they reveal the biblical story of creation. It's fascinating. I mean, you're sitting there going, what in the world was Jim doing with this? You're going to see it first. Before we get going, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read out of the NASB. We're going to do a little side study first. I had someone come up to me a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, and she said, well, I had heard that the image actually means something else when God says, let's create man in our own image. And she goes, well, do you know anything about that and what it means in Hebrew and the actual word? And since this is the word that we're going to be focusing on, I'm going to do a little side study for that person who is not here, so they're in big trouble with me. Hopefully they're watching on the live stream. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 in the NASB, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And I've heard a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers, a lot of sermons on this very thing, on what it means. But when you read it in the English translations, most of them say we are made and created in God's image. Well, what exactly does that mean? A lot of times people say we were created and we look exactly like him. We have all of his qualities. Well, if we're going to look at the true text in Hebrew, the word our image, or the words our image, are tselem. Tselem. Whenever you see a TS in Hebrew, it makes the sound like pizza. So it's tselem. And tselem is from an unused root meaning to shade, a phantom or a shadow, an illusion, a resemblance, and hence a representative figure. So if we insert that, God is going to create man in his own image, means he's going to make a representation that mirrors or reflects who he is. It doesn't mean that he's taken all of his own qualities and putting them into mankind. It's like when someone makes an idol of a god, that idol is a representation of the god. It is not the god itself. It does not have the powers of that, but it is something, a representative, that people will put in place of the god that they cannot see. And it also talks about being a shadow. Now, if I stood in front of a light and I cast a shadow, the shadow represents parts of who I am. And you may be able to tell who it is based on their shadow or who it is not. Does that make sense? So when we are created in God's image, we are created as a shadow or a representative of him. And I'm going to expand on that, because I see a lot of faces going, dude, you lost me at pizza. Psalm 73, verses 18 to 20. Or actually, Psalm 73, 12, and I'm going to read out of the NASB. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease, they have increased in wealth. So this is the psalmist, and he's talking about people who are wicked. And he goes on, we're going to skip down to 18, but in verses 13 to 17, he goes on and says, why do they always seem to prosper? Why do the wicked always seem to get away with all of their stuff? They plot things, they do evil, and it seems like nothing ever happens. They never get in trouble. And then he says, I have remained righteous, and I am living in difficult times. I am surrounded by people. I am surrounded by my enemies. Yet the wicked seem to just have all kinds of fun and no problems. Well, we get down into verse 18. He says, surely you set them in slippery places. And he's talking about the wicked. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They're utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. And the word form there is Salem. You despise their representation of you because their lives no longer portray or reflect who you are. The wicked are reflecting something completely different, but it is not God. So when we are made as men and women in God's image, we are to be a good representative of what we are reflecting, and we do, whether we realize it or not. Does that make sense? He says he despises their form. He despises the things that they resemble. The things that they resemble. And in John, in the Gospels, I believe this is Jesus talking, John chapter 8, verse 44. And he's talking to religious people. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning who does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is saying, you are a representation of your father, the devil, though you claim to be God's. Your Salem, your shadow, your representation of how you are living your lives is not a good representation of who God is. It is actually a better representation of who Satan is. So when we are made in his image, we are to reflect his personality. We are to reflect his character. And when people see us, a shadow of our Heavenly Father, do they look at the shadow and go, I don't see God? Or do they look at the shadow and say, yeah, that's more like the devil? So that's what it meant in the Hebrew to be created when God said, let's make man in our image. Let's make man to reflect who we are. And I'm using the plural because the Hebrew word God is Elohim, and it is a plural title. So that's what it means to be created in God's image. So now we're going to go back to our study. We have to remember, through the two or three core letters of each word, the Hebrew language creates a chain of words that when they're linked together, that they tell a story. So we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 in the NASB. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 in the NIV, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So we have a difference there. We have man and we have mankind. In the Hebrew, the word is Adam. We pronounce it Adam, but it's Adam. And it means man, mankind, person, or human being. Also, when it's capitalized, It is Adam, which is the name of the first man that God created. Okay? So on a side note, though, if you've read through the scriptures, especially in, I believe it's Ezekiel, God calls Ezekiel many times son of man. Son of man, come here. Son of man, do this. Son of man, eat this scroll. Son of man, this has to become a part of you. Son of man, go and tell these people what to do. And if you read in the Gospels, there are, I believe, 63 accounts of Son of Man, but it's addressed as, or a title for Jesus. So there's kind of a mix-up, and if you go through your translations, sometimes Son is capitalized, sometimes Son is not capitalized. So Ben Adam are made up of two words. Ben means son or son of, and Adam means a man, person, or a human being. So together, they mean son of man. In Psalms 146, verse 3, the King James Version, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." That is Ben Adam. He's talking about people, human beings. Don't trust human beings. All right? God calls the prophet Ezekiel son of man 93 times, Ben Adam. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 in the NIV, it says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." But if you go into the Hebrew, there's a definite article, ha, and it means the, and it becomes Ben Ha Adam. That is a title. That is a title given to the Messiah, the one who is to come. So if it just says Ben Adam, it's talking about mankind. If it says Ben Ha Adam, it's talking about the Messiah or talking about Jesus himself. In Mark chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." That is Ben Ha Adam. So that is a title. So now we're going to go back to Adam. And we're going to look at its structure, we're going to look at its DNA core, and then we're going to start looking at other words that tell the creation story that God has put in the Hebrew language so that we can see the chain link effect of what he's talking about. All right? I know this is a lot of stuff, but hang in there. It's worth it. It really is. So Adam is spelled Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Adam. All right? If you remember, Aleph means what? God. It represents God. Does it not? You don't even remember, do you? Aleph represents the one true God. Okay? So we have Adam. Aleph, God. Dalet is the door behind which stand the poor and the needy. Remember when God says, I stand at the door and I knock? It's Dalet. It's those people that need him who are behind the door. But they have to open the door. All right? So Adam is spelled Aleph, Dalet, and Mem. And we're going to learn what Mem means. Mem represents waters, peoples, nations, languages, and tongues. So if we look at Adam and break it down into its individual letters and put them together, it's God, Aleph, will reach out to the poor and needy individuals behind the door, Dalet, as well as people from all nations, languages, and tongues. That's what Adam means. It means God is going to send himself through the Holy Spirit to reach out to the poor and the needy and all generations, all languages, all tongues, all nations. And we just say Adam. Oh, his name is Adam. Well, why did he call him Adam? I don't know. Well, now we know. Because God is going to reach out to the impoverished and all nations through one man. One man. So now the creation story starts to mean a little bit different, doesn't it? Well, God just created this guy named Adam, gave him a wife named Eve. Why? I don't know. Gave him figs to wear. They screwed up, got kicked out of the garden. Ho-hum. No, there's so much in just the name Adam. Amen? So the Hebrew language links words by essence. And remember, essence is a property, a group of properties of something without which it would not exist or be what it is. So I'm going to go on in our creation story here into Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, "Then God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." All right? So a man, we found out, we've realized, is Adam. Ground is Adama. A-D-A-M-A, which means earth, soil, and ground. So Adama sounds a lot like Adam, does it not? So God is going to reach out to the impoverished and all nations, and he's creating this Adam from what? Adama, the ground. Do you realize we have a lot of minerals in our body that can be found in dirt? It's true. A lot of them. And it goes along with the story that God scooped up the ground and created man. Well, he didn't just make a mud pie. He did something else to create the first man. And we're going to take a look at that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So what's the next word in the chain? In Leviticus chapter 17, it says in verses 13 to 14, it says, "Any Israelite or foreigner residing among you who hunts any animal or bird that may be eaten must drain out the blood and cover it with the earth, because the life of every creature is its blood. That is why I have said to the Israelites, you must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is its blood. Anyone who eats it must be cut off." No blood, no life. Correct? It doesn't happen that way. That's just the way God created it. So we have Adam, the first man, Adama, from the ground, and the Hebrew word for blood is dam. Adam, Adam, Adam. They're very close together, are they not? But they mean man, ground, blood. That's how God had to create. That's how he did create. We didn't start with a primordial ooze and then one cell, single cell, made its way up on the ground and then just decided he wanted feet and legs and beaks and arms and... No. What God says is Adam, Adama, Dam. They're all linked together. They sound similar, do they not? In English, man, ground, blood. Doesn't sound as cool, does it? If I were to say, here's the story of creation, man, man, ground, blood. What in the world are you talking about? But if you say it in Hebrew, Adam, Adama, Dam, it's telling the beginning of the secrets of how God created everything. Now do you know why I'm a little more excited than you guys? Because I knew the end to the beginning. But like every good infomercial, but wait, there's more. Blood is the essence of human life, and in its Hebrew form, it is built and connected to the ground and to Adam, Adam. All right, the Hebrew language links words by color. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. And to the Moabites across the way, the water looked red like blood." So here, remember I said it connects by essence? And remember what essence means? If you take one of them away, you don't have it. If you take ground, Adama, away from Adam, you don't have Adam. You can't take the minerals out of our body and have us live. And you can't take our blood either, correct? So in essence, all of those things need to be together. Now we have the word red like blood. And the Hebrew word for blood or red is Adom. Adom. Instead of an A like Adam, it just has an O. Adom. So the next link in the biblical story of creation is Adom, which is red, is the color of Dom, blood, which is the life essence of Adam, man, which has been made from Adama, the ground. So in English, man, ground, blood, red. In Hebrew, Adam, Adama, Dom, Adom. It's fascinating, is it not? It is absolutely fascinating. I'm going to keep going. Hebrew language links words by emotion. In Ezekiel 24, verse 16, it says, "Son of man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Do not lament or weep or shed any tears." In the Hebrew, dama is tears. Dama, which are tears, are especially linked to dam, which is blood. Dam is written, or blood, is written with two letters, dalet and mem. Dama, or tears, is written with three letters, dalet, mem, and ayin. And the letter ayin in Hebrew means an eye. Ayin, eye. So tears are the blood of the eyes, and it is interesting that emission of both blood and tears from the body is called shedding. While the shedding of blood usually indicates an injury to the body, the shedding of tears usually indicates an injury of the soul. So we have man, ground, blood, red, tears. But in Hebrew, we have Adam, Adama, Dam, Adom, Dama. They're all linked. You see, when he created mankind out of the ground and he breathed into him and he gave him blood, life blood, the essence of life itself. And blood is red. You know what's interesting? I don't care what color your skin is, your blood's red. It's red. Every single person living on the earth today has the same color of blood. No matter where you live. No matter what language you speak. No matter what continent. No matter what you believe. We all bleed the same color blood. We're all linked together. And what is that? That is that life essence that God has given us. And that, in that, we are all connected. Every single person who has ever lived has been born through that line of Adam, Adama, Adom, Dama. We're all created that way. We have all come from one person that God chose to create in the beginning of time. Yet look where we are now as people, utterly divided. Divided by race, divided by color, divided by creed, divided by linguistics, divided by nationality, divided by this, divided by that, divided by politics, divided by, you know what?
we all came from Adam. That's our lineage. It's incredible to, and I think people should understand their nationality. They should understand their history. But they should also understand this. We all came from one seed. According to the creation story that God has revealed, He not only gave us the creation story, but He also gives us mankind's business in revealing certain things about that story. You see, to look at it in the Hebrew, for people that tell me, well, the Bible's just a bunch of stories written by a bunch of people that didn't know what they're talking about, it's no different than Greek mythology. It absolutely is. It is a common thread. They're all intertwined. So many different authors, so many different books, so many different continents, so many different time frames, all pointing to one thing. God is the creator of all. And God is our creator. And when He said, let's make mankind Adam in our image, it is our job to be a good representative of what He created. Amen. Do we not owe that to Him? We absolutely do. We absolutely do. And what's amazing about the difficult time that we're living in right now, there's plenty of opportunity. There's plenty of opportunity to show God's love. Plenty. Because there's enough hate in the world right now that darkness does not swallow up light. Light. Darkness is the lack of light, not the other way around. So when we, who are created in God's image, have His light in us, darkness cannot overtake that unless we let it. You see, darkness has to go if we are true light bearers of our Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter where you go. It has to go. Have you ever had a flashlight? I've been camping at Priest Lake, and it's just, you can't even see your hand in front of your face sometimes. It's so dark. Once you turn that flashlight on, it illuminates things. The darkness has to flee from the light. The only way that the light or that the darkness can overtake it, once again, is to turn that light off. There's nothing dark enough to consume that. Maybe a black hole, and they're even wondering if those really exist. But it's our job. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. It is our job to make sure that we are good representatives of our Heavenly Father, especially in these times. And remember, we are all created when God breathed His life into us. And we have that blood that is proof that we are created by Him and for Him. So we have an opportunity to stand up and send darkness running. We can also add to the darkness by not allowing our light to shine. The Bible says, do you put a light or a lamp under a bowl? No, you don't. That's the stupidest thing ever. Lamps are created to do one thing, illuminate, correct? Yep. And if we are called the light of the world, we are created to illuminate and represent our Heavenly Father. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what seems like there's nothing we can do anymore, and we're just going to throw up our hands and give up and say, Lord, take me now. Well, if you're still breathing, God still has something for you to do. We all need to heed that call to be light bearers, especially in a time like this. where fear is running rampant. And there's no answer in sight given by our politicians, our culture, but we do have an answer in the scriptures. It says, do not fear. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, sound mind, and let your light shine, because it's awful dark out there. Amen? Please stand. This is Luca. And you know, Luca looks an awful lot like his dad. His dad had a little bit of input into creating him, but he's not exactly his dad. But he's got his dad's DNA in him. And we have our Heavenly Father's DNA in us. And when my girls were growing up and they got old enough to go out by themselves, I always said, wherever you go, whatever you do, you represent God first and the Olsen name second. Because whatever you do reflects on your Heavenly Father and it reflects on our family name. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Christians have forgotten that. When there's just as much division, hatred, backstabbing, pride in the church, we are not representing our Heavenly Father well. You may not agree with everything that your brother or your sister does. You may not agree with how they vote. You may not agree with how they dress. You may not agree with how they talk. But we're still supposed to love one another. Above all else, we are to love God and to love one another. That is the greatest commandment of all. So I know when this little guy grows up, he's going to represent God. He's going to represent the Master and Artie name. He's going to represent the Olsen name too. And it's up to us to be good mentors and good disciplers to make sure that he does that. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. But you know what? In the end, it's going to be worth every ounce of effort. It's our job. It's our job. So, Luca, will you close us in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of your word and the mysteries that are embedded in your word, in your law, and in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reveal it to us so that we may know you more and more and that we may represent you better and better each day. We pray this in your son's precious name. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.